are Paul, then Barbara, and Fred.
Okay.
And Serene, with a point of information, please.
I have just gotten and brought up the this thing about, has a tab about prioritized central services. I haven't had a chance to look at that. I have looked at the KPFK budget proposal, and so I want to make sure. This says that end of year, the station is projecting a surplus of $101,428. Is that correct?
No. If you go over to the cash flow tab, you'll see that we're paying off some premiums and past debts in there.
Right.
So we're actually projecting at the end of the year cash flow of negative $56.
$56?
Yes, negative 56.
I see.
I couldn't get it quite to zero.
Okay, speaking of those past premiums, remember last year you said that KPFK would basically push the expenses for the FY16 premiums into FY17. So I gather you have done that, and what is the magnitude? How big is that particular expense?
At the last tally we did here, it was about 72. Wait a minute. It's on the. It's about $72,000, including shipping. I suspect it's slightly lower than that now, but I haven't had a current tally in a couple of months.
Okay, and also, last
year... we have kept up with our premiums this year, where this is basically a carryover from last year.
Yes. So last year, part of the plan was to lay off a couple of people and put most of the station's paid staff on halftime, and I see that that's been through arbitration and all of that. Now, apparently the arbitration has resulted in KPFK having to pay about $200,000, and are the people who are at halftime back at full-time now?
Yes, they went back to full-time on August 1st. They went back to 80% time on January 1st.
Okay, and so with all of that, you're projecting a $56 deficit.
That's correct.
Uh-huh. Okay, that's it for now. I still have to look at more of this. Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
That's going to involve... if you look at the tab, look at the expenses, personnel expenses, you'll see what's factored in there, severances and buyouts.
That's $187,000, Michael.
That's correct.
Yeah, I'm saying that there's no way to maintain the full staff at 100% within the current budget. So the projected budget is not all the people currently on staff staying on staff at 100%.
The arbitration, I can't talk about too many of the details, but I can say the arbitration has built in buyouts. We're not proposing laying anyone off at this time. Frankly, because, among other things, it doesn't make fiscal sense. But we do have some people who have requested buyouts.
I have a point of information before the next
point of information from Serene. And then Barbara and Fred were next. Was somebody else
trying
to... Thanks.
I'm sorry. I'm not in front of a... Thank you, Michael. I'm not in front of a computer, but what is the current Central Services pay to the National Office, please?
$36,829 plus $4,911 for a total of $41,740.
Thank you.
Barbara?
Well, I'd like to speak to the thing that Serene was talking about, the subcarrier income. And this was something I was very interested in when I first became treasurer and found out that there was such a thing. And just recently, I was informed by one of our representatives to the PNB that according to the FCC attorney, I guess he is, Kriegler, actually the law says that income from of that sort goes to the license holder. So as much as we think it would be fair that the stations should have some recognition that they are responsible for producing this income, legally, it belongs to the Pacifica Foundation. That is my understanding. So I think this is a really big topic. It would relate, it would be relevant to some discussion of some kind of gigantic change in the way the organization is arranged to the point of the stations holding their own licenses and having some sort of cooperative agreement as a network different than the kind it has now. So I don't think it's realistic to spend a lot of time, currently anyway, pushing the idea that some of this income belongs to the stations.
I know this is a bit out of off topic from this budget, but if I could speak to that, it would certainly help our station if the national office that gets that income paid in part for the maintenance of the equipment here and the utilities we pay on it and the rest of the expenses involved in those sidebands.
Can I make a comment back? Short.
And then scream.
Yeah, all right. Also, Fred is on the stack, so let's try to minimize the back and forth. But
another thing I didn't say, what I think I've said before, was when I first started investigating this, the agreement was initially when the method of collecting the money many, many years ago changed from the stations individually to the national office. There was supposed to be a savings account set up out of this money to pay for such things, as you're mentioning, Leslie. And that has never happened. But that, nonetheless, there's still this Kriegler information that the money technically belongs to Pacifica.
Okay, Serene, you had a brief comment, and then Fred's on the stack.
Thanks. Just on this point, we are not discussing it tonight, so there's no need for anyone to be concerned about that. But it is something that I will continue to, quote, push. Pacifica is not separate from the stations. Pacifica exists because of the stations. So saying that the money belongs to, quote, Pacifica does not necessarily mean that it goes into the national office without any credit to the stations whose antennas generate the cost. Now, we're paying, our bill for rent here in New York for the antenna is upwards of $50,000 a month, regardless of what we're able to pay at present. To say that that money gets paid by the station, but the station never gets credit for it, just does not compute. So we will have further discussions. That the money goes international to be used by national does not mean that is not contradicted by the idea of crediting stations who otherwise pay central services for that money. That those things can coexist, and they will.
Thanks, Jim. Fred, you were next.
I'm going to pass. I don't have a substantial question.
We're a little over 35 minutes on the discussion. We scheduled 45. Adriana, go ahead.
Yes. I want to add something to these two clarifications. The first one, Leslie, if I don't mistake, but you are saying that the reduction that you are you're making in central services is equal in the amount that your station is paying for the problems that you didn't generate, that was generating from some actions from the national office, right? That is the first one.
Yeah, I think we should be careful about personnel questions.
I'm not asking any personal question.
Okay, I'm just saying to be careful.
Thank you. Yeah, I will.
In answer to your question, the national office failed to provide necessary documents to the union. And that was what the arbitrator cited as the cause for his decision.
Okay. And the second thing that had to do with just I heard this very interesting rehearsal of the SCA income. I want to, it's really funny because nothing, not even $1, that came to any of the units belong to the units. Everything belongs. It's only one Pacifica Foundation. It's only one 501c3. Then every income from listener support for whatever you want is being allocated to that unit for their internal, budgets or expenses that the unit pay, but all that revenue belong to the Pacifica Foundation. I think that is totally unfair. Like just said, Serena, Leslie, you just mentioned that the one that have the cost of receiving that money are not being recognized part of that as your own income. It's like when you ask your listeners to put money to support you, that money, yes, it's yours. But when it's through your antenna, the service that you're providing, that doesn't belong to you. I agree that we need to have a big conversation on this, but it's totally unfair. And I think that the foundation have to do it because it's unfair for the station that really bring all that money. Thanks.
Thank you. I'm going to call myself again. Nobody responded to my point. I think that draconian cuts of the kinds that were referenced, let's say, on the tab about prioritizing central service payments, I think are moving in the wrong direction. I do think we have to think seriously about how to increase our revenues, increase our listenership, and we have to build that into our budgets. We haven't gotten a budget from PRA, but I think that it's vital that PRA find ways to generate income from the archives directly as opposed to relying on central service payments. And if we could do that, that would relieve KPFK, which has the largest central service payments of any station in the network of, close to $5,000 a month, that could be used for other purposes if PRA was, pulling more of its own weight. So we have a lot of outmoded business models that are predicated on things that are no longer working, and I do think that management at the various units and nationally and the board have to think seriously about how to increase revenues in a realistic way, build in some benchmarks for doing it, specify what revenue is being raised, how. We have identified several times now mandates to the local station boards to raise funds for their station. I think that's got to be concretized, and I hear all the objections. I'm not somebody who has people with $1 million portfolios or even $1,000 portfolios, in my Rolodex. But I think that the local station boards individually and collectively need to think seriously about how to raise funds for their stations. I think that we need to have serious plans. When KPFT, for example, was forwarded $100,000 to purchase a new transmitter and get out from requiring annual waivers from the FCC because their signal was so weak, there was a mandate written into that for KPFT management to come up with a serious plan for increasing their listenership and their revenues, and it never happened. And I do think that the budgeting process is where that has to happen. So I would, you know, I think we're running out of time on this, and we're probably, this is provisional. We're going to have questions, further questions submitted and review. But I would urge the GM to think about that question. I know that, you know, she's trying to abide with last year's mandate, but I think that last year's gone, and this year's mandate is that we have to figure out how to increase our revenues and come up with realistic plans for doing so. So we're more or less at time for the time. It's about 3 minutes, and I don't think we're likely to have a motion to approve this budget as it is tonight, and unless I'm mistaken. We haven't actually, I don't think we've approved anything yet, have we, in toto?
No.
I'm wondering if Nick is back on the call.
Yes, I'm back on the call. Thank you.
Is anybody from your management on?
I do not know if anybody else from PFW is on. Jerry or Paris or Bud Harrison, are you on the line?
Okay, so...
point of information, Mr. Chair.
Go ahead, Adriana.
Can we identify, because the count said that we have 11 people in this call. Can we identify who the 11 people are?
Yes, we have several additional board members, directors from WPFW on the call, Nancy Sordon and...
and Venetia.
Venetia Adams. Anybody else? Leslie Radford is currently on the call still, I think, from
GM. Yep, sitting here.
So the... anybody else? Do you want to run down the role? Paul, we have...
Well, I just looked. We have 8 people here, plus those 3. We have the GM from KPFK and 2 directors. That's 3. 8 and 11 is 8. Eight and 3 is 11. So that accounts for it.
That's right. 8 members of the committee are on the call, and 3 other people. That's the 11. And Fred is streaming it. I don't know if that requires a something logged in or not, but
the stream is on my phone call.
Okay. Fine, thank you. All right, so I think we need to thank Leslie for her contributions up to this point and, you know, consider what adjustments can be made in that budget, either in terms of additional cuts, some of which she suggested in that tab B, or I can't remember what it is in that version, which I did send out to you, or additional revenue to try to potentially increase the central service payments. The SCA All right. question is up there, and many other questions are up there. So,
all right, I'll take a look at it. Thank you very much.
Thank you,
Leslie.
Thank you.
Thank you. I have some personal business I have to deal with here at my house. I'm wondering if somebody else can take the chair when we for a few minutes while we turn to the WPFW budget, realizing that we don't have management from WPFW. Is there someone who can take the chair for a minute? Start there.
Well, I propose Nick if we're going to be talking about the PFW budget anyway. I expect he'd be talking a lot.
Okay. I'm sorry, Serene, you were saying you would chair and Nick would present?
No. I was suggesting that since we're going to be dealing with the PFW budget and Nick would be essentially presenting and talking a lot, he may as well chair.
Okay. Is that okay with people and with Nick? Nick?
Yeah, that's fine. Just let us know when you've returned, and then we can have you chair.
I'll be back on in a minute. Okay, so go ahead, Nick. You can present the WPFW budget and take some questions. Thanks.
Sure. So obviously the caveat of presenting this budget is that I'm presenting it as the volunteer treasurer of the LSB, not a member of the management of the station. The budget was prepared by the management of the station, by the general manager and our barely part-time business manager who's working roughly only 10 hours a week. Therefore, we have a very limited amount of time to provide the details that several of the members of this committee requested to be consistent with other reporting, not because we don't want to, but because there's just challenges around time of just operating the station. That being said, the budget was prepared taking into account what has been the income over the last year and budgeting for roughly that same income in listener contributions. We haven't had the benefit of having the distinction of listener contributions and major donor outreach being segregated in our financial statement more or less because we have, again, have had limited support and there hasn't been a real distinction between those income lines. Therefore, we are using what has been used for the 2015-16 budget as far as average income. The operating expenses, deal with the current central services requirements as well as for the Pacifica archives. The payroll expenses is listed, and then I would say overall the expenses that we have listed are fully loaded at their current levels of obligation, be it payroll, the office rent, the transmitter rent, and the other requirements, operational requirements of the station. And as you can see, we are have a significant deficit based on the current levels of expected income and the expenses. And therefore, out of the discussions at our LSB meeting, the LSB passed the motion that directed management to take all necessary actions that would provide a balanced budget of income and expenses by the next LSB meeting on the second week of October. And what management is doing, because I have been a part of advising the general manager and the business manager, is working with outside counsel to approach the SAG-AFTRA union on salary reductions, on combination of staff positions, and renegotiating the severance provision of the contract in order to provide for reductions of the payroll expenses and the health insurance expenses as soon as possible. In addition, Formal contact has been made to the landlord, the building landlord, and will be made to the tower rent and to our power provider, Petco, here for similar accommodations regarding payments. The general manager discussed in the LSB meeting the current cash flow crunch that we have right now prior to the starting of our next support drive that's going to begin on October 9th. There's a lack of cash flow to make the next payroll, and perhaps one of the reasons why he's not on the phone is he and his team have been working on approaching major donors to help individually by phone and in meetings in order to bridge the gap between now and that fund drive to be able to make the next payroll on the obligations between now and the middle of October. So the station is, as I've said, is in a financial crisis, not unlike what the Pacifica Foundation itself is in, a financial crisis with expenses hard to reduce quickly and revenues hard to raise quickly as well. And so management regarding WPFW is focused on the very next steps of what it can do around staff reductions and expense reductions in order to come back in early October with a balanced budget.
Indiana?
Now, I know from the tenor of these conversations that have taken place and the meetings I've been in that there's a lot of focus on line items, et cetera, in order to, in very detailed conversations. And although that has its benefit, I would ask that perhaps that might be limited. We know we've got a big financial gap to fill up, and I think too much of those kind of details might just be not very productive for this conversation.
Iriana for the stack.
Or Paul for stack.
Let me ask if our chair is returned. Michael, are you back? So we have Adriana for the stack. Anyone else for the stack?
Or Paul.
Or Paul. Anyone else? Okay, Adriana.
Yes. First, what we receive is off our fiscal year, because according to what we receive, you are included September, and the 2017 start October 1st and finish in September 30. We are short 1 month, and we have September of 2016 that shouldn't be there. But when we talk about line items and certain template, we are talking about, it's not a capricious thing. It's something that make us realize or compare, we can use the line to compare what happened before. But I have really one worry here. I'm looking at the numbers that the national office provides, and they said that in 2015, the fiscal year 2015, WPFW lost more than $250,000. The national office is telling us that during the first 10 months of FY 2016, till July 31st, 2016, we have a loss of more than $283,000. For what I can see, the incomplete budget that you sent, you are proposing a loss of more than $275,000. What I do not, I understand the difficulties and I understand the need to keep WPSW on the air. I don't have any doubts about it. It's not what I'm questioning. What I'm saying is, I don't see in this budget how, I mean, the foundation doesn't have money anywhere else. All the stations are having problems. They barely can meet their obligations. What I don't understand, how or from where do you think that these $275,000, you cannot project a budget that have almost $300,000 in deficit already. You know, I mean, that is not possible. I mean, it's not any way, it's not responsible for us to think that we can do anything like that. And what I worry is, I want to know what is WPFW offering to solve that issue. And you know, we can keep creating, you know, committees and groups, but the reality is that the same people that are not able to collect money from the stations, I don't think that we should go to the same people to ask for the money that they couldn't raise before, to tell us how we will do it in the future. I don't understand that part. I want to know what is WPSW really offering to get yourself out of here, because at this point, the foundation cannot do it.
I understand your question, and I understand what you're asking fully. I've been on the task for less than 2 months. The station has got to reduce its staff. The budget is shown based on the current obligations to existing staff, and this AG-AFRA contract requires basically a six-month severance to people who are displaced or are fired from their job.
Excuse me for a second, please, information. This is Michael Novak getting back on the call. Who's okay. Speaking now?
It's Nick Arena, and I'm speaking to Adriana's question about what is WPF doing given it's showing a budget of a $275,000 deficit. And so what I'm saying is that the station is looking to reduce its staff and combine positions, and doing it with the assistance of legal counsel, a labor lawyer here in D.C. to make sure that we are doing it in representing to the union in the best way possible. But it's going to have to cut its staff. Number one. Number two. Is going to have to get a reduction in the rent, office rent expense from its landlord in some manner, and we've made a request of that reduction in office rent for the period of now, between now and the end of 2017. We're making the same request of the transmission as well. The transmission and tower rent. We've budgeted for continuing to pay to make the central services payments that we're required to make in order to keep the foundation moving. But that has been part of the reasons why, to your question about how's this station survived. Well, it's survived because it's behind dramatically in its central services payments, as you're well aware. It's also tapped in and used any and all reserves that it had access to, be they restricted and unrestricted funds, in order to cover what the cash flow gaps have been. We do also have a line item regarding transmission and antenna repair estimated in the budget for the first 6 months or 4 months of the year to make sure, or 6 months that is, to make sure we have funds available for that. If but there are, seems to be, according to the general manager, other potential resources to deal with that due to changes that are being made by the landlord of that transmission tower. So management is taking action. I can't speak to what's happened necessarily in the past, but management is taking action now. In addition, outside on expense reduction, in addition, a fundraising committee of members of the LSB and Friends of the Station is being formed in order to assist the staff and the management on soliciting major donors, on soliciting institutional support from the community and from celebrities and friends of the station over time, seeking the short-term dollars to make it to the next pledge drive, as well as the long-term dollars that are needed to balance this budget. So our backs are up against the wall, and there is every effort being made to handle the situation, but it's going to be a tough year for the station. And so Michael, our Paul was on the stack.
Okay, thank you. You want to go ahead, Paul? I'm going to put myself on the stack too.
Yeah. Okay. Thank you for that. And yes, it does look like WPFW is in a very difficult place, and unfortunately, all of Pacifica is in a set of very difficult places. First, I need to say the file we were sent that says operating budget, it's not the budget template we're used to, and one of the useful things about having everybody put in pretty much the same kind of budget template is that you can compare things and you get used to seeing where things should be. With this, I think we're moving around a whole lot. Also, I think it was brought up before, it says it goes from September 1st of this year through August 31st of next year, and it should be October 1st to September 30th. So I'm a little concerned that we may have like a month off here in accounting for what's going on. Looking at the expenses, I do see that there's about $275,000, a projection of a deficit at the end of the year of about $275,000, and you're talking about dealing with a lot of that by cutting personnel, but correct me if I'm wrong, the personnel for the year looks like it's about $222,000. So if you were to just unemploy the entire paid staff, it'd be still around $50,000 in the red. So there's that to consider. I'll also say that coming from a station where we've had drastic cuts, where WBAI has been making layoffs and cutbacks. It started early in 2005. It probably should have started in 2004 because we weren't able to pay people then, and did it up to 2013 when we went down to 7 people. When you do the cuts, it can also be dangerous because you lose the ability to do some things. I won't go into some of the stuff that WBAI is vulnerable to right now, but not having people around the station can be a problem. We also, you know, have an overworked management. that has a very hard time doing things. So basically, what I'm saying is the cutting of people, you would have to cut a lot of that, and I think you're going to run into some problems, and there is the severance issue. I don't know that you're going to have an easy time saying, we want to lay off some people and we don't want to pay the severance that's in the contract. I don't know how the union will reply to that. But there's also the fact that somebody's going to have to really, really, really know what everybody does and in the cuts make sure that you don't leave jobs undone that really need to be done, because once you cutting fat is one thing, cutting muscle and bone is much worse. So I don't know. The first thing is we really got to see I think we really need to see a spreadsheet that looks like the others is on the same template. Anyway, there is that. I would especially like to hear what the thoughts are regarding how much cutting do you expect to do to carve away at that $275,000 deficit?
Sure. So, on the point of what can we do on personnel expenses, this is confidential amongst this group.
No, we're on an open. We're on open. We're on an open call. We can't say anything confidential.
What we can talk about is that we are going to be negotiating with the union regarding the contract. That's period. Regarding the personnel expenses, we do expect that we should be able to enjoy somewhere around $50,000 to $70,000 reduction in the payroll and the health insurance expenses. We hope to have an additional $120,000 savings in the rent expense of the office rent, and approximately an additional $50,000 reduction in the tower and power and other administrative expenses. That gets us to, approximately $220,000 in savings. In addition, we obviously will have to look at what the options are regarding some of the central services payments that they can continue to be accrued, that they would still be obligations, but that we would have the opportunity to pay them further once we're able to do a stronger job of raising funds at the station. And again, I do feel that we, and someone else has said it, and the station is also struggling with the same issue. The amount of time people are spending talking about expenses is pretty much lopsided against the real issue of revenue generation, and whether or not is the committee is feels the expertise to do it. There's got to be a focus on revenue generation. We cannot save our way to balancing these budgets. It has got to be done by increased revenue generation, and I think resources would actually be better spent with the assistance of people that are knowledgeable in fundraising to assist the foundation and the stations to raise more funds.
Serene for the staff.
I'm sorry, who is that?
Serene,
okay. I called it myself, if that's okay. Mm-hmm. I'll follow up on that. I do think that the question of revenue generation is vital. I realize that we all have different issues that are leading to the problem, but we're all facing a similar problem, which is that the business model of Pacifica is broken. and we have to figure out ways to transform our business model while fulfilling the mission, and that includes, you know, living in the era of social media and connecting the service we provide to the ways in which people want to get some of those services. I do realize that PFW in particular is facing a huge demographic change in their listening area that I'm sure affects that. I have raised a couple of times at the national level, and I think on the NFC, the idea of seeking an academic partner for WPFW, and I would urge the management to consider that very, very seriously, trying to find an academic institution that would, you know, dovetail with the Pacifica Mission and WPFW service to the community, and find ways that there might be some, you know, space provided, management provided, volunteers provided that would dovetail, you know, between the academic institution and PFW. I do think that people have to think seriously about, you know, not just social media fundraising, but I've said this over and over again, incorporating the ethos of social media, which is many to many, and finding out ways to tap into the creativity of the listening audience and give people a sense that WPFW is a platform or a venue or an avenue for them to express themselves and share their creative energies and concerns and issues and solutions to problems that people are experiencing.
Okay.
And I do think that that is the avenue of getting out of this problem. I'll just stop there. Serene, you're next.
Okay, so it doesn't happen often, but I want to repeat or echo much of what Paul Martin said with regard to the caution about cutting yourselves, reducing your staff to the point where you can't function, where essential functions are not being handled, where you end up with crucial positions, several of them being done by one or two people, and therefore, in spite of those persons' intentions and efforts and best wishes, are not necessarily being done as well as they need to be in order to maintain good relations with your listeners and supporters. So I will forward to the PFW LSB some of the ideas that were collected here in New York when we were given a mandate by the PNB to create a sustainability plan. Maybe they will be of some use to you. A considerable time went into preparing some of them. But, you know, you really have to focus on having a local board that is together enough, that can get out of its own way. And, you know, and at one time, D.C. used to be fairly mild in terms of partisanship. I know that's not necessarily the case now, but the need to show and to work together in a collective manner that benefits the station is extreme, right? So, you know, you can continue to like who you like and dislike who you don't like and whatever. Nobody cares about that. You get to go home by yourself if that's what you want. But being able to focus on working together to preserve the station. I mean, I love PFW. I support PFW with more than words. And in D.C., you know, when you start cutting staff, you don't have that much staff to begin with. I mean, I followed the operation. I watched when people went to halftime and got back to three-quarter time, et cetera, et cetera. Find out what is possible in terms of job sharing and reduction of hours and deferment of payment for those folks who can afford to do that. There are a lot of things that can be attempted. One thing that I think is crucial is that there has to be a genuine, open, honest discussion with the staff about what the institution can and cannot do, because people expenses do not get cut in half because their hours get cut in half, right? You still have to pay the same rent or mortgage. But it requires good faith dealing, which we lost 75% of our staff here in New York in 2013. We have not recovered. There are multiple ways in which we suffer those losses. The quality of your on-air programming, and I know most of it is done by unpaid staff, but the quality of your on-air programming has to be retained, which means you need to have someone who's really, and that's not to say that that doesn't exist now, but I'm saying there are certain positions that you need to retain. You need to have a knowledgeable person handling your programming. It's not the kind of thing you can hand off to, you know, just anyone and expect to continue. So be careful what positions get cut, and I'll be honest, be careful why people, particular positions are being cut. Be very careful. Thanks.
Sorry, anybody else on the stack? I did want to emphasize what I think several people have said. The budget document has to be put into the template that is being used nationally for development of budget documents. Otherwise, it's almost impossible to understand what's in it. I realize why you want to have, you know, budgeted and actuals, and that might be a fine worksheet to use in your own operations. But for the purposes of coming up with a consolidated national budget document, which we have to do to forward to the PNB, the budget document for WPFW has to be in the same format as all the others. I did send out earlier today the financials for the current year, which reflect some of that, and people might want to compare. But any previous budget document or the template that the national office brought, I think has to be used. And in particular, it's got to be for the current fiscal, the upcoming fiscal year from October 1, 2016 through September 30th, 2017. So that's some work that has to be done by, the treasurer or the financial staff there or help with the national office, whatever it takes. But I don't know if there's further comment. We still have scheduled some more time for this, but maybe we want to go. Go ahead. Yeah, Tony, go ahead.
Yeah, I think working with the team that we have now, they are focused more on fat and unnecessary position, not any essential positions to be reduced or cut. I think that's what the management is focusing in on, to focus in on eliminating duplication of jobs and duplication of services and unnecessary positions. I think they're focusing more in on that. Now, in terms of our demographics, I don't think that has very much to do with our revenue, actually, because we're a 50,000-watt station. Even though there is a movement in terms of gentrification, what have you, most of the people are moving still in our basic signal area. So that has a very, very minimal effect. It's not like they're moving out of our frequency area. They may be moving from one part of the city or to Maryland part, but that part still is served by the 50,000-watt station. So the demographics is very minimal. We need to look more at the our programming and the retaining our base and adding to that base. And I think demographics is a very, very small percentage of the issue in terms of declining membership or declining listeners. And, of course, we can't cut our way out of this, obviously, because even if we, as was pointed out, we can't, if we cut every position, you still have a serious deficit. We really have to look at our structure and serious revenue generation in terms of, once again, the CPB, looking at that, other grants, and not relying on too much on fundraisers. So we have to come up with a much different structure in terms of revenue generation. That's something we need to do right away. So I have to say that we are, and I think that the board is really is working together. The board is not as divisive as it was in the during the time of our civil wars. Those all over pretty much, and I think the board is unified. I think the budget was even approved unanimously, if I'm not mistaken. So I don't think we really have that problem now with divisions among the board. So that's a positive. I think the board is pretty much understand the seriousness, and even though you still have different groups and different factions, they all have accepted the premise that we have a serious financial situation and working with the management to solve that. So I don't think we're getting a lot of resistance on that end from board members. Actually, the board members have kicked in terms of helping. We've done a great many fundraisers that the board itself is doing. So I would say the board is working together on that part. That's it.
Adriana?
Adriana, go ahead.
Yes, I have a question for you, Nick. Do you have all the information that you need from the national office, because we are talking about the, you know, the templates, we are talking about the information that just Michael just sent to everybody in this committee about the income statement that we have seen till July 31st, 2016. I want to be sure that you have all the information and you have the open communication that you should with the national office. I want to be sure of that because I was worried about that before, okay?
Yeah, I thank you for that point. I believe we do. We had, recognizing the time constraint associated with getting a budget approved by our LSB, as well as the limited time we have out of our business manager. We did the best we could to put together at least the general form of the budget. Yes, it's not in the format that is the same for others, but the general point is still there. And management is very focused, as Tony has reiterated as well, about what needs to be done to keep the station going. So I will take the recommendations of the formatting and to have this updated as a part of what management does to present a balanced budget by the next LSB, to the point that I believe Michael made or our Paul made regarding getting an academic partner. That is very much a part of the some of the fundraising discussions that we've had around trying to find partners for the station, and I say partners plural. That could be an academic institution, just the time and energy and resources of the management and the volunteers and the board need to be a focus there, in addition to what's already been done. So you're quite right. It is something we need to pursue as a part of a larger fundraising strategy for the station. And I would also say that same point ought to be something that the whole Pacifica Foundation consider on a national basis, around national partnership between an academic institution or institutions that could help with the overall operating budgets of not only the foundation itself, but the local stations. And again, as a part of a larger fundraising strategy for the organization.
Barbara for the stack.
Okay, Barbara, and then I'm going to call myself again.
Well, not to go further from the topic of the WPFW budget, but I want to say I'm really happy to hear people talking about this concept of partnerships with educational institutions. And this is something that we've talked about a lot in our LSB, and I don't know exactly how the discussions have gone in the PNB. I know that whenever anybody brings up the very touchy point of the archives, that's a very difficult thing to talk about. But it is known to us that there are a couple of educational institutions who would be very happy to accept these decaying recordings. They have the skills and the people to much more quickly restore them than we've been able to support the archives at Pacifica to do it. And in fact, there's been proposed that we put out a request for proposal to have an educational institution, and maybe more than one, take on this task and actually so that the Pacifica and the stations retain actual ownership, and that we have some kind of agreements written up that, you know, both the stations and the foundation can still, of course, access these recordings, using them for various programs and for fundraising, and that if an educational institution were to also market them, there would be royalties coming. It would turn this whole thing of the archives into an income-producing unit rather than an expense unit. And one of the most exciting things I've heard, and I'm almost done, just recently, is that we have a wonderful example in California. There's been many years a music program hosted by a historian of the Grateful Dead. He's now passed the host of the show on to someone just as enthusiastic and knowledgeable. But all the recordings of the Grateful Dead have been turned over to UC Santa Cruz. And the agreement that has, I don't know all the details, but it has been described as one very favorable. Everybody's happy about it. It's a wonderful opportunity to preserve these records. So I think that rather than fighting off any change in the Pacifica radio archives, we ought to consider this as a possibility of essentially turning it into an income-producing unit and lessening this burden that we've had. Although, of course, the people working at the radio archives are totally dedicated, but I think this is one of the necessary things that could turn around the financial state of affairs for the foundation and the stations.